Live from the future, it is Saturday, 12:02 p.m.
Again, for those of you still stuck on Friday, apparently in the US, work hours are over, so it's pretty much the weekend already, so it matters not. Now, we have some fabulous articles to read out the headlines on. Now, I was thinking to myself that there's never anywhere near enough time to rush through everything that happens on every single day kind of thing, you know, because, you know, there's just too much going on. So in light of that fact, I'm going to just read out a couple of headlines. Goodbye, net freedom as FCC enters online regulation. It's on gorillamedia.co.nz. Not a very good thing. They're starting to move in to regulate the internet. They shouldn't be there at all. And also, Monsanto's ongoing corruption incites Forbes retraction. GMO crops Monsanto's been paying farmers to use its competitors' herbicides. Why? It's a last-ditch effort to address the spread of superweeds created by the company's Roundup Ready GMO crops. And those in the environmental movement who know that GMO crops are incredibly dangerous for the environment and totally uncontrollable will be not surprised by this. Also, the great austerity caper, coming straight at us from the Intel Hub, is Barack H. O'Barry freezes workers' pays, except Congress, of course, because they'd never pass that bill to cut themselves out of any money. Everybody seems to be freaking out a little bit, except Congress, of course. Also, I had a little of an update here about vitamin C as well. Vitamin C and the law, I would suggest looking that up on gorillamedia.co.nz. As a patient, you have the right to any therapy that is not prohibitively expensive, established to be effective, and not prohibitively toxic. That's the law. But apparently, doctors don't give two flying Fs about that. And if you want vitamin C to help cure you of anything, they'll give you the flick and just say F off. Now, also, this is another big bad news that I'm looking at. NZ share market could implode fast, according to a Business Desk insider. Not good. Not good at all. Apparently, the stock market in New Zealand is pretty frickin' fragile and could at any point just experience hyperinflation and just go... Also, the WikiLeaks frontman to be extradited as well. Certainly not a happy instance for him. And it also, you know, breeds contempt for the establishment, of course, trying to silence its critics. And indeed, one of the biggest disasters in recent history in New Zealand, the Pike River Mine explosion, is to reopen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back after the break with a very special guest.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations. I'll let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations. Have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite. By satellite. By satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, in a holocaust, in a holocaust, in a holocaust.
And welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I'm going to let Will take over because I'm having a little bit of problem with my internet. Take it away, Will.
No worries, Vinnie. Bill, are you on the line with us, mate?
I certainly am, Will.
How are you going, mate?
Very good on this cloudy, overcast day here in Auckland.
It is, isn't it? It's not too bad my end of town, but hopefully it picks up a little bit. We will press on without the man, the main man himself, Vinnie Eastwood. Would you care to do a bit of introduction on yourself and save me the research?
No problem at all. Yeah. I guess I was a very good law-abiding citizen. Oh, sorry, my name's Bill Turner. That's for a start. Everyone calls me Billy T. That's where the Billy T comes from. But I was a good law-abiding citizen up until the late 90s when I was a very successful businessman. Had several businesses in real estate and millionaire by 40. And then started having problems with the IRD. And luckily, my grounding and...
Oh, no. It looks like we've just... Bill. Yeah, we've just lost Bill there on the feed. We'll try and get him up on a landline there. Incidentally, he's got a lot of very important and extremely controversial information for us, so hopefully we'll be able to get him up on the phones shortly.
We've all been struck with technical difficulties of late. I've just got mine back online, and you've had microphone issues. And it's amazing when it works, but not so quite teeth grindingly frustrating otherwise, isn't it?
Yeah, totally, bro. And, you know, as a conspiracy theorist, you always think, oh, there's some description of agenda going on here. technical glitches happen all the time, and it's usually not anything nefarious going on. It's just more the fact that engineers and everything like that, at the best of times, can't get stuff to work. And it's the exact same type of stuff that you
wasn't
have to
suggesting
deal with
any
live radio.
I wasn't suggesting any sinister hands, although my town has been infested with Illuminati people over the past couple of weeks. I had the High Prince himself, Jay-Z, staying about 5 km away from where I am last weekend. And Lady Gaga was apparently over here about 2 weeks ago. So... Yeah, isn't it? It's great to be in the company of the occult.
Now, I believe we have Bill Turner on the line here. Bill, can you hear us?
I certainly can. We're back live. We have got a bit of an internet problem, so I don't know how far you heard me go with my little introduction.
Well, we heard you say your name, and that was about it, so you'll probably have to start over.
Oh, okay, right from the beginning. Okay, up until the late 90s, I was a very law-abiding citizen. I had several businesses. I was a millionaire by 40. And then I started having problems with the IRD. Through being in real estate, I had a lot of contact with lawyers and had to study law, especially about estate law and things like that, so that by the time the Inland Revenue came after me, I knew a little bit about law. But however, they bankrupted me in 2005, and from that moment on, I applied to the government to see if I could study law full time. So they kindly put me on the dole, and I've been studying law ever since. Have I lost you again?
Oh no! We're still here, mate. Okay. You've been studying law. You've been studying law for quite some time, and there's apparently a lot of big, intricate deception going on with our legal system, and indeed, legal systems all over the world, which many people just do not understand, even in mainstream legal circles. And I believe this has been your area of study. Now, just for myself, just to preface this for the audience, the reason why I've got Bill on is I met him a while ago, and at the time, we had a pretty interesting conversation, and it was more like sizing each other up, you know, figuring out who each other is, and yeah, I really liked what he had to say, and I asked him would he be a guest on my show, and he said no, not yet, I've got some more stuff to figure out before I can come on the show to reveal what I know, and that time is apparently now. And in my case, I'm a big fan of Bill, not least because when my camera, my video camera, which I used to make videos for a lot of the activists here in this city, Auckland, died, and Bill was gracious enough to indeed just donate his camera, which was as yet unused to me. So thank you very much for that. Now, without further ado, would you be able to divulge for us that your areas of study?
Yes, yeah, and thank you for that, Vinny, but that is exactly how we met down at Dulip Rupert's Cafe, another fearless fighter for the cause. We've all gone off into different areas of study, and I guess it was kind of my expertise being in real estate that sort of led me down the path that I chose. And but when you start getting deeper and deeper into the system and how it operates, you find that all roads do lead to Rome. The Roman Empire never died, it just went underground. And finding out how we became enslaved, although some people still haven't opened their eyes yet, to realise that they are slaves, and the easiest way that I can show people how this happens is that if you drive down the road and you see a paddock full of sheep, those sheep can wander around free all day, and to all intents and purposes, they think they're free. As long as they follow the boundary fences and don't break out, they're fine. The farmer lets them eat as much as they like and they wander around freely. But every year, he decides to get his tax. Now, he'll round them all up, put them into the shed, take the fleece off their back to pay the tax. Then they go back out into the pasture. Now, if you start getting a bit past it, well, then they send you to the meatworks. But we, to the same extent, believe that we are free. And yet, all you need to do is drive down the road and a little red light pops up in front of you, so you stop. Now, are we being controlled or what? India would have popped.
We're being controlled on so many simplistic levels that I think everybody sort of accepted it, you know, as an acceptable reality that, hey, there's got to be lots of restrictions on almost absolutely everything that we do, just so that everything's so safe for everybody.
You're dead right, Vinny. Okay, now, look, just studying one avenue could make you myopic, so that you wouldn't come out with a clear picture of the whole system. So what I have done with my study, Vinny, is I've researched the Bible. There's a lot of clues in there. I've researched history, huge amount of clues there, and the latest one is the Pirates of the Caribbean. And when you understand the full implications of that, or by the time I finish giving my talk today, maybe a few people will look at that movie with a bit of a different light, because I can tell you the majority of the clues are there. And the society, because we are forced into a society where they have tricked us into it, they have to give us full disclosure. So what they do, it, and it tells you in the Bible, Jesus spoke in parables. They do exactly the same thing. They speak in codes, and they speak in parables, or they put everything out there in plain view. You have to decode it to get to the bottom of the story. So if you're ready, I'll start off.
Go for your life, mate.
Okay. Look, one of the key clues in the Bible is that out of the dust of the earth, God made man in his own image. Now, what they're saying, God made man in his own image. But if you read that correctly, man's image, okay? So out of the dust, he made an image of a man and put it into legislation so that you became land. So all these land wars and everything over land, when you really go through the acts, you will find what land really is, and that is you. You are walking dirt in some ways, okay? Now, it also says in the Bible, beware of the mark of the beast. And so what they were telling you, because when the Bible was put together by the two of the most esoteric people at the time, and that was Flood and Bacon, Sir Francis Bacon and Flood, wrote the King James Version of the Bible, and they codified it so that it is in parables, or code, if you would like to read it that way. And so, beware of the beast, or the mark of the beast, which is 666. So, by going back into history, the year 1666, there were two very important events happening at that very same time in London. One, London was burning, and they were running around with buckets everywhere, trying to put the fires out. But there was something more important happening in the Parliament, and that was a bill called the Sedicavi Act, 1666. Now, if you want me to spell that for you, Vinnie, it's C-E-S-T-U-I, separate word, Q-U-E, and then Vi, V-I-E. So the Sedicavi Act, 1666. It was rushed through Parliament. And the reason is, when you read it, it tells you clearly what the Bible was warning us. If you look through Bovier's Law Dictionary for that Sedicavi, you'll see, he for whose life land is holden by another person. The latter is called tenant per atrevi, okay, or tenant for another's life. And so that act there is telling you what they did, which was making us into a piece of dirt, or making us dead right from the start. And, I mean, it's very simple how they get us to register into their system, but it's extremely complex. And it starts from the moment you're born. Now, there is a huge difference between born and birth. And if you go to the beginning of the first Pirates movie, where Jack Sparrow's standing on the mast and his boat's slowly sinking, when it finally hits the bottom, he steps off onto the deck, and the little fat telly clerk comes racing up, and he says, "That'll be a shilling for birthing, and we'll need your name." So what they're telling you is exactly what they have done. They have birthed you into maritime law, and B-I-R and B-E-R, the same words, birth and birth. They've just changed the E for an I so that you think you are birthed, not B-E-R, birthed. Now, Jack Sparrow was a bit more cunning than that. He says, "Look, let's make it 3 shillings and we'll forget the name." So he gave the little telly clerk 3 shillings and then proceeded on his way. Now, when we get born, our parents immediately get given some registration papers. Now, those registration papers are to birth you into their system. And so you then get a birth certificate. Now, that is your loading or receipt, the bill of lading, which then goes on to become more, which we'll cover in a little while. Now, if you want to know if this is true, we can find this in our acts very simply. We go to the Births, Deaths and Marriages Registration Act 1995. And we go to Section 2, which is the interpretation section. And it says there, birth includes a stillbirth, but does not include a miscarriage. Then it further goes on, birth certificate means a document issued by and signed or sealed by or stamped with the seal of a registrar. And then it says child includes a stillborn child. Okay, so what they're telling you there is that you are dead right from the start, the moment you register. Now, if you don't believe that you're dead, go down to the local cemetery and have a look at the tombstones. You'll see that they're in all capitals.
Well, okay. same as our driver's license, same as our birth certificates. Everything's in capitals. It means a corporation rather than a living entity.
You're right on, Anthony. Right on. Okay. So everything then gets put into a trust. Now, the beauty of trust, and there's nothing wrong with a trust, but because you're dead, you have died intestate, okay? So when you die intestate, you haven't left a will, okay? But you're only killed on paper. So what they do is, with your estate, they set up a trust. Now, the beauty of a trust is that the trustees do not have to disclose anything that is in that trust. So if you ask them a question, they do not have to answer. And that's the beauty of their system. You can never find out any information about it because you are in a trust. So they're not doing anything illegal. And these people who jump up and down and say, oh, the rotten sods, they're doing everything strictly legal according to their society.
There's a difference between being honest and doing things legally.
Of course there is, and that's why we're on this path.
Legality's got nothing to do with morality, though, and so they've set the boundaries and set the parameters as they always do, and then say, well, look, you have to adhere by it, and so do we. But they've already got the upper hand because they were the originators. They formulated this system.
Yeah, and you can't legislate morality, but you can certainly legislate it away. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. My very special guest is Bill Turner, live from New Zealand, and we'll be right back after the break.
Living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tina Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where do you have a stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands.
With oh yeah.
With alcohol, TV, contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community.
Hey, look at it. When you look at the legal system, there's quite a lot of systemic corruption. Our very special guest, Bill Turner. No, not Bootstrap Bill Turner from the Gore Verbinski film Pirates of the Caribbean. It's Bill Turner from New Zealand. Welcome back to the show, mate.
Thank you very much, Vinny. And pleased to be with you. And hi to all the good folk over in America. We have constant contact with some of the good folk over there, Winston Shroud and Victoria Joy and a few others. So they're doing a good job over there, and I'm just hoping that some of this research of mine may help them in their search. I mean, the battle's being fought at all levels. There's some on the streets, like your good self, out there fighting them with video cameras and all sorts of things to try and keep them honest. I'm just a backroom researcher and quite happy to do that. So it's great that everyone operates on a different level, and hopefully this can advance a few more people, Vinny.
Well, indeed. I mean, there's no point getting into this kind of field of research, you know, regardless of what your intentions are. I think that the benefit of others is the main player in this scenario.
Yep. All right. And, now, and, Before the break, we were just talking about the dead estates. Now, as you quite rightly said, that your driver's license and all those sort of things are in all capitals. And so whenever they send you any correspondence, it will be in all capitals. But what they're trying to do is they are sending you stuff that is your estate. Now, if you actually know how to deal with that, then there isn't a problem, but most people don't know how to deal with it. Now, we're slowly learning how to deal with that, with those all capitals names. And once you do have control of your estate, it is for the better, I can assure you. So I'll carry on there, because most people don't realise that when something is addressed to their estate, they do the wrong things. They immediately argue, fight, or go silent, which is very dishonourable. So the way that you deal with anything from the establishment or from the society that we're a member of, unknowingly, if we stay honourable and accept what they're saying, but ask them for proof, they kind of go silent.
And I wouldn't say that we're a member of the society, because it's the Law Society, and I don't know about you, but I didn't qualify as a lawyer, so I can't be a member of the Law Society. Therefore, I shouldn't be subject to their laws. But that's logic speaking.
Absolutely, and that's not allowed in the system, Vinny. You're a bad boy. You should know that.
Now, look.
Okay, now look, it gets further and further, because it's not just one thing, because if they had only one thing to trap you into the society that you don't think you're a member of, but I can prove that you are, they further depower you by the Children Act 1969. So you go to the definitions in there, and it defines marriage, includes void marriage, and married has a corresponding meaning. So They don't only kill you, but you're a bastard as well.
So what's the ramifications of this? Because if you don't have, if you're not married, for example, and you have a child, what are the differences to the rights or the way that child's life is affected by the law, as opposed to the opposite?
No estate can devolve to a bastard. They have no inheritable rights. Okay, so you not only have to prove you're alive. Now, it's quite easy to prove you're alive if you've been baptised, particularly if you've been baptised into the Roman Catholic one, because this is their system. And so if you produce that, you can prove you're alive. But then how do you prove that you're not a dead bastard? Because you are under their law. And I say that in the nicest possible way, Ben.
Of course.
So Bill, how do for the average person out there who's thinking, you know, well, I don't care if I'm under their law, everyone else is, I'm a big relativist sort of thing. why is it bad to be under their system? You know, what makes them sinister, what could make them good? Who's to say this establishment is a negative or positive thing, or
The only reason that people think it's inherently bad is that they haven't worked their way around the system. But once you use the system correctly, you'll find that the system works very, very well for you. It pays all your bills. And if you go back to the Bible, Jesus died to forgive us our debt. And that is why they're explaining that when the New Covenant or the New Testament came in, Moses was the Old Testament, and under the Old Testament, you had to let the blood of a dumb animal for forgiveness. But the Old Testament, or that Moses was the who brought in the Old Covenant, which was the Aries. When the New Covenant came in, or the New Testament, was the introduction of the Age of Pisces. So we're now in the Age of Pisces. Now, the Age of Pisces, Jesus died to forgive us our debt. Now, the new covenant, which is the one that Jesus ushered in, says that he died to forgive us our debt. So the last testament, or the last will and testament, was probated by John the Baptist, and Jesus ushered in the new one. Now, the new covenant comes in 2012, December 2012. The new covenant comes in, and that's where we're supposed to be set free for 2,000 years. Those of us who lift up to the higher frequency and stop the skullduggery that's going on, because the system was supposed to collapse in 1999. That's when all the countries came out of debt. But now
you lost me. Are you trying to say the establishment follow a New Testament-based system?
Absolutely. Well,
really?
Absolutely.
Really? I find that really hard to swallow, to be honest.
No problem.
Hard to swallow, because if you look at it from this one point of view, you mentioned the sacrifices that were made in under Old Testament during the time of Moses, not necessary after Christ, because Christ died for man's sins. Therefore, that was the sacrifice. And worshiping sacred geometry and worshiping and occult rituals and pagan rebirth rituals and death worship isn't necessary and is forbidden under the New Testament. But that's still what the elite do today. They're fully into pre-Christian pagan druidic death cult stuff.
Yep.
Like Bohemian Grove is a classic example of that.
Oh, absolutely. I don't have a problem with anything you say there. But what we'll do is we'll carry on, because maybe it'll become a little bit clearer by the time we get to the end. And if you do look through the Bible, everywhere they do talk about redemption, and you can get redemption, and that's what I'm trying to show you with this here. But it's not the redemption that the churches tell you about. It's redemption so that you get access to your trust fund, which I'm about to move on to. Okay, now, the estate is set up in your name, but because it's capitalized and they don't tell you anything about it, they trade it. And those bonds, or the birth certificate bond, is sent out onto the markets. Believe it or not, the weight that you were born, when you were born, is very, very important, because that your weight, and they still measure it in ounces, even though all countries are in metric, apart from you good people over there, they still measure it in ounces, and that's for a very, very good reason, because OZ, or ounce, is an ounce of gold, and so the weight of the baby determines how much goes into your trust account when they set it up. So when they,
we seem to have lost you there, Bill. Are you there? Okay. Yes. The weight that you're born determines the amount that they put into your trust. Continue.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Now they don't only register you as as land. Now in New Zealand, we're registered at LINZ, which is the Land Information New Zealand. And so, like, if you've got any power of attorneys or anything like that, you'll find all the records are held in the land registry. And as I said at the beginning, God made man out of the dust of the earth. So we are registered as land. We're also a state-owned vessel, okay, because we came down the mother's birth canal. We broke the waters and came down the birth canal, and we were birthed into their maritime law. So we are a vessel. We're also a financial asset and a Sedicate trust. So, I mean, they've got different levels. Everything's all interconnected. But I can assure you that those bonds are trading on the markets in America, and you can go online and check what your birth certificate is worth at any one time. You can see how much they're trading it for.
So you're referring to the New York Stock Exchange. On the New York Stock Exchange, if you use your social security number in the United States, apparently you can look that up on an index.
Absolutely, you can. Absolutely. Now,
is there a website or something that people can go to if they want to know how much they're worth to the New World Order?
There is many, but they've actually blocked us in New Zealand from accessing our birth certificate information now, which is a bit of a shame. We used to be able to do it. There were lots of websites that we accessed, and they've blocked us off from all of them because slowly but slowly they're trying to stop any new information getting out there. But rest assured, that bond is trading and you're worth quite a bit. Now, up until the age of 18, between 18 and 20, this works very fine. They have the public trust or any one of the trustee companies is managing your trust account for you, and they quite openly go into it. But at age 18 to 20, they offer you something. They say to you, well, look, you're of the age of majority now, so we'd like to offer you a new deal here. Would you like to manage your own trust account, or would you like to be represented? Now, at age 18, I'm not sure what's the age over in America for voting.
Depends on what state you're in. It's a very
I'm not
state
sure,
state.
We're not American.
I don't know.
Okay, the difference being that at that age, you've reached the age of majority, and according to our laws, you then have the chance of either electing a representative, and that's why we have a House of Representatives down in Wellington, or you can make a power of attorney. Now, what it says here in our Administration Act 1969 explains how estates are administered, and Section 9, administration during minority of executor, where a person who is the sole executor of a will is at a date of the testator's death a minor who is not entitled to a grant of probate under subsection 3 of this section. Administration with the will annexed may be granted to such person as the court thinks fit. Now, that's what allows them to administer your estate up until the age of 18. But when...
We just have word in from our somewhat fabulous producer, the age you can vote in the US is 18. So, yep, go on.
Okay, so the same thing. So their legislation will be very, very similar. But when you get to age 18 to 20, now, interestingly enough, this act is the Property Law Act. And, of course, you're going to go and look at these sort of acts, aren't you? Section 22, person aged between 18 and 20 years may do certain things. A person who is 18 years old or older, but under 20 years old, may do one or more of the following.
And we will hear all about the one or more of the following after the break. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Society won't. Well, there's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
And welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about being a mafia gangster. Our very special guest is Bill Turner, coming at us live from New Zealand. We're talking about the legal system, the ramifications of it, and the intricate details, which are so often kept out of mainstream media, that where you hear the truth from this show, and probably bugger all else. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Yeah, thank you, Vinny. Look, the reason I'm trying to get people to see about this trust, because it becomes very important. Now, in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, a lot of effort went into getting into the treasure chest, and the gold... the gold that was in the treasure chest, when they first got the girl there and cut her and dripped the blood in, she didn't access the treasure chest because it wasn't her that was accessing the right treasure chest. You see, the only person who can access the treasure chest or the estate is yourself. Now, what they were saying is your DNA will prove that you are the owner of that estate set up on your behalf. This becomes very important when I move on to how the banks create loans and that. So I'll build up to that slowly as we get there. So now at age 18, we get the opportunity to do one or more of the following, and this is Section 22 of the Property Law Act 2007. I'm sure the laws in America would be very, very similar. But you can do one of the following. You can execute a deed, A. B, you can appoint an attorney to do or act or things that the person himself, he or herself cannot, can do. Or C, accept appointment or act as an attorney. Okay, so what they're saying here is that if you execute a deed...
Sorry, Bill, we've lost you there for a little bit. If you execute a deed...
Yep. If you execute a deed, such as a power of attorney, you then can access your trust account. There is a little bit more to it than that, but, you know, that by and large, that is what it means. So... But when you register as an elector, you do so under Section 85 of the Electoral Act. Now this this really shows you how gullible and naive we are. We think we're electing governments. Don't for one minute believe that. The governments are put there. Doesn't matter how you vote or who you vote for. It was under the Electoral Act 1993. Application for registration. Okay, now when you go to Section 86, registration of mentally incapable persons. So when you ask...
Well, doesn't that include the whole populace, Bill?
Absolutely. Everyone who has applied to vote or enrolled to vote is mentally incapable. So
sounds
not
about right.
Not only are you a dead bastard, you're mentally incapable.
Subtle. I agree.
Okay, now...
You know, this is true in law as it is in reality, people. So...
Okay, say that on air? No.
If you go to Bouvier's and read what representative means, it says, one who represents or is in the place of another. In legislation, it signifies one who has been elected a member of that branch of the legislature called the House of Representatives. And then it goes on, a representative of a deceased person, sometimes called a personal representative or legal personal representative, is one who is executor or administrator of the person described. Okay, so now person is the trust account that they're talking about, not you. The person is actually the trust account. So they, the moment that you elect a representative, you then have an administrator of your account for the rest of your life. Now, as I told you earlier, up until age 18, public trust or any one of the trusting companies can look after your estate because, as the pirates say, it's floating on the sea of commerce, unattended, and anyone can pick it up. But at age 18, you then get represented by the House of Representatives. Now, there's a real giveaway here. I guess there is an attorney in America, but in New Zealand, it is the Attorney General. They're giving it away by saying you now have a power of attorney, and the Attorney General is the one who is in control of your estate. So anything that you need to do, you go through your personal attorney. Now, later on, when I get to the Wills Act, you will see that you can give anything away by will. So that becomes very important. But anyway, someone's just put on here. I was quite a fat baby, starting to count my gold coins now. I like that.
Yeah, I think I was £8.9, you know, so.
I like that.
That's quite a bit of gold there, mate.
Okay, now, if you hadn't decided to vote, you could have filed the deed appointing yourself as a power attorney, and then you'd be free of the shackles, and you'd have access to that estate, which is created on your behalf. Now, you can't just go out and do it. You must have that deed, and it's not easy. I've had mine done, I can tell you, but you have to have it notarised and apostilled. Now, I did lodge mine in Linz. I did lodge my power of attorney in Linz. The first time it was lodged for 3 weeks before they realised that I'd slipped one over them, and they said, oh, there's a new form now. You go, we're going to have to reject this one.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me. As soon as you find out a way through, they'll always come up with some BS to try and stop you from having any description of freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Bill Turner on the Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Those of you live on the AM FM dials in the United States, you're listening to American Freedom Radio. And we'll be right back with hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, hour number two, the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest on the line is Bill Turner, not the bootstrap Bill Turner of the what was it called, Pirates of the Caribbean. But interestingly enough, if you watch the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, there are little references to these type of legal ramifications the whole way through the film, I'm told. And but interesting, you know, interesting. But I digress. Bill, would you please continue?
Yeah, well, actually, just going on to the second of the of those great movies. Right at the beginning there, there's a scene where all the coffins are being thrown into the ocean, and they're all floating out on the Sea of Commerce there, and suddenly the lid pops up from one of the coffins, and Captain Jack Sparrow, and that becomes very important, learning what your rating is. Captain and Mr. You notice whenever you're in court or with any police or anything like that, it's always Mr. So he always says Captain, which identifies your position, and that puts you above them. But however, Captain Jack Sparrow pops out of the coffin, looks around, and then he says, mind if I borrow that? And he grabs a leg and uses it to start paddling. Oh, sorry. He grabs the leg, and then he says, mind if I borrow that? And he waits, no reply, so that is silent acquiescence. He grabs the arm and then starts paddling with it. Now, that's silent acquiescence, which is a trick that they use all the time. And that's why I say, never go silent, never argue with them, or never accept anything they say. Just question them, and you'll go a lot further.
Yeah, it sounds about right. I mean, it's fact of the matter is we had a salesman. Me and Tim Selwyn were hanging out yesterday and had a salesman from Telecom come round and try to sell us stuff. And bad move because I'm very, very well versed in the telecommunications industry, having been experienced in it for a number of years. And what he was doing, he had a little sheet that had my address on it, and he's jotting down notes on it, that kind of thing. And he was going to take that back to the head office. And I said, well, why are you doing that? And he says, oh, well, you know, just in case. And I said, well, the reason for that would be so they can probably send another salesman around here, which I'm not keen for. Can he please remove it? And he started arguing with me. So I asked the question, do you get paid for each person on that list? And he says, oh, I'm sorry, I can't reveal that information. I said, so I'll take that as a yes. You know, and it's the same thing with the legal system, judges and all of that. Once you start asking questions, you'll find out very quickly that a lot of them, they're not allowed to give you the answers to, and that's when you know that you're being, BS'd.
Yep,
and that's why 80% of them are Freemasons.
Yep. Well, look, don't forget that the stuff I know, most lawyers don't know. Now, for example, I mean, I have them on a lot. I've got a lot of friends who are lawyers, and I go and ask them stuff, and they, honestly, they just do not have a clue.
Yeah, a lot of lawyers don't have a clue. That's a good place to leave it right there. We're going to break. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com on American Freedom Radio. On the show, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. We're just talking over the break, and our fabulous board op, Adam, came up with something. Is that the theme of the show today was that people rely on others to make all their decisions for them. And those, you know, it's actually quite spot on there, mate, because of the fact that, hey, we're living in an immensely complex society and people have become over-specialized. My father in particular, he had a banker, who had long done business with him, who was able to, you know, ratify loans and everything just like that. And he came after he lost his job at the bank, you know, recessionary stuff happening there. He came to work for my father, and my father had a whole bunch of different forklift tires, up 400 plus range of tires, and they're all numbered. They all have their own individual number. After a very short period of time, this banker said, look, mate, I just can't do this. There's too many numbers. Guy working at a bank, you know, says there's too many numbers. It's quite ironic, really. And it just shows that over-specialization means that we all really have to start relying on other people to know things that we don't know, as opposed to knowing how things fit together and learning something. Our very special guest is Bill Turner, coming at us live from New Zealand. How's it going, mate?
Very good, Vinny. And just before the break, we were I was talking about some lawyer friends, and I like taking the mickey out of them now, because I know more about it than they do. They're kept in the dark just as much as we are. And one of the things that always catches them out is I say to them, how many times in a week do you give an undertaking to do something? And most of them say, oh, probably up to 100 times a week. And I say, so when did you become an undertaker? And that is exactly what they're doing, Vinny, because, as I've explained, we've got a dead estate, and that is all they can do. They can only undertake. They're undertakers. Now, the other thing that I continuously have them on about is, I say, you know, how long have you been a lawyer? And they say, I've been practicing for 30 years. And I say, isn't it about time you started working?
Oh, yes. Because it's a different language that they use, you know. It's called legalese.
No, no, no. they don't even understand themselves. And like, I took it to another level in court just recently. There was a guy in New Zealand here who's being done for immigration scam, Geriotomy. And I sat in the court with them, and the judge was starting to give him a bit of a rough ride. So I hopped up and said, look, Your Honour, and he shut me down. He said, you've got no right here. And I said, well, quite the contrary. He said, as a sovereign, I do have a right here. And I said, even if I didn't, I said, under Section 82 of the Lawyers Act, I said, I have a right to act as a Maori agent. And he said, what does that say? And I said, well, it says that anyone has the right to act as an agent for a Maori. And I said, but unlike you and your learned friend here, I won't be acting. I will be doing the real thing. The judge and the prosecutor saw the funny side of it and had a little bit of a giggle. But that's all they do. They can only act. They can't do anything to you. It's all a big act. And when you know that, it does give you a little bit of a sense of security after all the things that they've done to me and my mates to try and shut us down, which they can't. So,
well, anyway, that's all you can do in a fictional scenario is act it out, gang.
Indeed. Now, look, it's sort of coming towards the end of these trusts now, but it's very important, as I've said earlier, that the people understand what their trust is all about, because that trust is set up in their name and only they can access it, and they do have the right to access it. But once again, the Bible gives us a clue. So if you go to 6.6.6 of the Treasury instructions, it's the records of trust money.
666
of the Treasury instructions. Type in Treasury instructions and put 666. It'll take you to records of trust money, which says the department is responsible for maintaining records of the deposit. The records must include the current and any preceding notices of appointment to manage and invest trust money. Okay, this whole section, the 600 section, is all about your trust. And because there is an act called the Crown Entities Act, you're also a Crown entity. They've got multiple levels of confusion in this game. And as a Crown entity, you are entitled to open your own Crown entity bank account in the name of that all capitals name. Now, once you do that, you are then actually accessing the funds the way they're supposed to. You're balancing the books, as opposed to every time you spend, well, we have Treasury notes, or we have notes come from the Reserve Bank. Every time we spend one of those, we're actually increasing the debt, because those are debt instruments. And the proper way is to access your trust account correctly, and then we're helping the country out. Okay, now if the people actually realised this, instead of fighting the system and started reading their way through the statutes like I have, then you will see that we are doing wrong and we must amend our wicked ways instantly, Vinny.
And as far as our wicked ways goes, how can the average person go about amending them?
Well, it's very, very simple. If you go online, there's a legislation site, and you can just go through the acts and learn the different things. And I've quoted quite a few acts today, and I've got another really important one coming up. But by learning what these acts do, then we start applying the law correctly and start helping the country instead of putting us further into debt. Don't forget that anyone is free to set up their own society. We've been sort of bundled in this society, but we can set up our own society, Vinny, which is no problem at all. Now, in America, they access, or they can use, the Uniform Commercial Code. We don't have access to that here, but we have access to the Hague Convention. Now, there's two sides to the law. Now, if you look in a mirror and put your right hand up, the mirror image will be that the left hand is up in the mirror. And that is what the law is like. There is two sides to it. It looks like the real thing, but it isn't. It's quite different. So there is a private side, and there is a public side. Now, when you get out of the public side and into the private side, which all the Hague Convention rules put you into the private international law, then all of a sudden you're dealing with a far different creature. Now, the politicians and the like would not have a clue what is going on. But the civil servants behind them, they are the ones who know, but only when it gets to a certain level. Now, most of the private stuff is done in a division called Ministerial Services. So if you ever find you're referred to Ministerial Services Division, you know that you're in the private side. And so if you've set your structure up right and you deal in the private side, there is a far different outcome. Now, if you've set your society up and you've given the rules to them and said, hey, look, our society has a membership, they must pay a membership fee to join our society, and these are the rules and regulations of our society. Now, if anyone transgresses any of your laws, we will deal with them in our society, and we will bring you the result, and we will put that in front of your judges who must accept our rules. And the Hague Conventions, private international treaties, do that.
But how, you know? I mean, I presume that it does take a fair amount of reading and a little bit of work. I mean, you've been working away at this for years in order to reach this point of knowledge, and I imagine that the average person will just go, oh, mate, I just don't have enough time for that. It's much more convenient to just be a slave.
Oh, absolutely, and as the Romans said, keep them entertained. Throw in another Christian to the lions. I mean, keep the public entertained so that they never discover the truth.
And also, Bill, look, I also have this problem in my head after talking to a lot of Freeman people and saying, you know, get out of the system completely.
You don't have to file for tax.
And all that sort of stuff, and I think, at the same time, I think to myself, but yeah, I want to be able to live in the system. I don't agree with it,
Absolutely. But
I think we can be more effective by being within the system and fighting back. Don't you think?
Absolutely, that has been my mission, is that we coexist, and that I can use the system for the benefits, but just don't get all the pitfalls with it. And I think that is the way, because we can help the country out immensely by balancing the books for them. And it's quite a simple...
We don't need all this foreign debt, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's up to us to coexist with them and in the nicest possible way.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, I think if everyone could, there's no way that I would want to become a hermit and have no bank account and no this and that. You'd be living in fear all your life, and that's what they want.
No ownership, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're saying, so your system, just to clarify, is working within this structure, but then just knowing your way around the sleight of hand of the law.
Absolutely. Look, once you free yourself of the shackles, and we're almost there, I can assure you, we're almost there with what we're doing. There's a big group of us who share information, and I think that is the key to it. Unlike the society that we're presently forced to live in, they are told to keep the secrets, and only when you move up to the next level do you get given a bit more information, until when you get to the very top, then you get given all the information.
So you're referring to sort of the 33rd degree and then illuminated
absolutely
levels and so on.
Yeah. Absolutely, but that works at all levels, and like when you talk to a civil servant, you can only get to a certain degree with them, and then you say, could you put me on to a supervisor? Then you say, could you put me on to your manager, you know, your CEO,
and
you move up the chain, and each one knows slightly more than the one below.
Yeah.
Now, I
and
heard
we're
that...
we're all meant to be happy being scum down the bottom. That's what they want.
Around the bathtub ring. Hey, is it true that I've heard this, I haven't been able to verify it, that many of the elite are already aware totally of this system and have been using it for quite some time, which is why they never have to go to court, never have to pay taxes, and for all intents and purposes can never be challenged?
Yeah, there's two ways that can happen. One is that you've got enough money, and there are only a few law firms that can do it for you. Most of them wouldn't have a clue, but there's probably a couple in New Zealand that can set these structures up for you, and yes, you're exactly right. The other way is that you get invited into the club. Now, when you get invited into the club, as you alluded to earlier about the Bohemian Grove, once you're invited into that club, then all those benefits are unfolded to you. So anyone, and which includes our beloved Prime Minister at the moment, who has the name Merchant Banker after their name is in the club. Anyone who is in a Merchant Banker means you have access to your trust account.
Wow. Yeah,
but that doesn't mean... Does that mean they're in the big club, though, so to speak? Does that mean they're globalist level? Does that mean they're in the big club, so to speak, as in terms of global policy formation and insider knowledge about stage events, say? Or is that just another level, isn't it? Because it's possible that Bohemian Grove is just in itself a kind of a forerunner to a few hurdles for a couple of thousand individuals to have to jump over in order to get to the inner sanctum.
I don't know too much about the esoteric side, and I prefer to deal in real stuff that I can, can actually study and get my head around. Whereas a lot of the conspiracy side, I think, is just there to actually throw us off the track.
Do you agree 9/11 was an inside job and things like that, though?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I just explained earlier, it's nothing new. If you go back through history, it's littered with that. And as I told you, in 1666, while London burned, they were passing legislation through Parliament to enslave us. Now, nothing has stopped. Nothing has changed since. That has continued all the way through.
This is a sad thing, you know. I was talking with a friend the other night, and he said, well, it all sort of happened around the Age of Enlightenment. You know, that's when you saw a lot of these societies actually amalgamate and come out officially. And that's also where man got taken away from more common law and had corporate law imposed on them. And he was kind of saying that maybe four generations ago, those are the sort of people we've got to blame. And I said, well, hey, we've got the benefit of hindsight now. Aren't we as much to blame? And he was arguing, but no, we're born into the structure. We're born into the system. It's too far gone, almost.
No, it's not. The system collapses. Look, we have very, very good information from someone who very high up in the IRD advised a friend of ours who was facing a mortgagee situation. This individual was told to go and apply for a small business loan, and don't worry, you will never have to repay it. Inland revenue will not exist after next year.
Well, this is what I've been hoping for a while, but yes, secretly. Not so secret now.
Okay, look,
but yeah.
Look, there is a far better system designed to come into effect. It may be Nasara, it may be something else, but certainly there is a far better system which will be employed, and it's up to us as individuals to rise above their argument and deception and to help usher in this new age.
I beg your pardon? Their new world currency, the Bancor, based in Basel, Switzerland, uses the same fractional reserve model.
Yeah, look, what I can tell you is that the Christians have been deliberately misled with this one world government and one world currency and one world religion. Look, I didn't want to go down this path, but what it actually means is that we will have one world consciousness again. We'll all be connected consciously. And once again, it's the code that's written into the Bible. I didn't really want to get into that side of it because I've got some other really good information that I'd prefer to get out there.
Fair enough, fair enough. It's all about using the time to the most effectiveness, I suppose. But I agree with you. There's lots of, if you read Ezekiel and, yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
And we will get into all of this after this very short break. Our very special guest is Bill Turner, and also the VinnieEastwoodShow.com is just burgeoning with fabulous archives for you to listen to. We'll be right back after the break. Out of time.
Well, all right, well, gentlemen,
a big monkey wrench in the new world order system.
Well, gentlemen, gentlemen, I hope you like gentlemen too. And the rules they don't bow, we can do it anyhow.
Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Very special guest is Bill Turner. Bill, welcome back.
Welcome.
Now, we have only two segments left to go, and I know that you've got copious quantities of information for us, but we're going to have to stick down to priorities, mate. What's the priority for you at the moment?
Well, okay, well, I'd just like to finish off on these estates and then move on to how you get a bank loan and that sort of thing, and then move on to what happened in New Zealand and probably the rest of the world with the introduction of immigrants to this country.
Go for it, mate.
Okay. Well, in the Wills Act 1837... it's a very good act if you're really going to start studying this sort of stuff. It says in the interpretation, which is section one, the words and expressions hereafter mentioned, which in their ordinary signification have a more confined or different meaning, shall in this act, except where the nature of the provision or the context of the act shall exclude such construction, be interpreted as follows. Now, what that's saying is this is a code. Now, in the Pirates movie, they talk about the Pirates' Code. This is exactly what they're saying here, that the words in their normal everyday sense have got a very, very different meaning. But in this act, it's a code. And so they tell you then what the words mean. Now, then if you move onto Section 3... If you have a look at a couple of the things in there, because this is the key to it all. The words real estate, it tells you what real estate's. But then it goes to the words personal estate. Now, that all capitals letter creation is actually your personal estate. Now, the words personal estate shall extend to leasehold estates and other chattels real, and also to monies, shares of government and other funds, securities for money, debts, choses and actions, rights, credit, goods, and all other property whatsoever, which by law devolves upon the executor or administrator. Now, that is telling you what is in that treasure chest. Did you know that you had shares of government and other funds? Did you?
I have no idea.
No, well, see, the Wills Act describes it all, and that's what it's telling you is in your treasure chest. Okay, so then you think, well, how do I get it? The very next part of that act, which is Section 3, all property may be disposed of by will. It shall be lawful for every person to devise, bequeath, or dispose of by his will, executed in manner hereinafter required. So what it's telling you is how to get into your treasure chest. They've told you what's in there. You've got shares of government, money, all sorts of different things. And the only way that you can get it is by will. Now, when you talk to a politician, if you say, it is my will, boy, do they jump. I'm telling you.
Yeah. I've heard that too as well from people in the free man movement, that if you say this is our will, you know, if you get a whole group of people to sign a piece of paper, apparently it has a lot more effect than just we want this or we would wish that to happen or any of these other words that actually mean something. It is our will is apparently a very powerful statement.
Well, this is what it says. It shall be lawful for every person to devise, bequeath, or dispose of by his will, executed in manner hereinafter required, all real estate and all personal estate which he shall be entitled to, either at law or in equity. Okay? So that is how you access your treasure chest. Now, that becomes vital when we go to the bank and we apply for a loan. Now, I can't speak for America, but what I can tell you, about New Zealand is that when you go to the bank for a loan here, the first thing they do is they come to you with a loan agreement, which they get you to sign. We moved on to the banks now, by the way, Vinny. Okay, so they get you to sign a loan note. Now, that note is a promissory note under the Bills of Exchange Act 1908. That note, when you take it back to the bank, when they come to you, they say to you, put your application forward. So you put your application forward and they say, your loan has been approved. When they say your loan has been approved, it means that the money, they can create the money for you. Okay, so what happens is they then come to you with the loan agreement. You sign that loan agreement. Now, there's only one signature goes on that loan agreement, and that is yours. That night, when you put that loan agreement in, that loan agreement, along with another instrument called off-market securities transfer form, those two forms get sent down to the Reserve Bank. The very next day, the money is in your bank account. The Reserve Bank gives the bank the okay to create that money. So the very next day, that money appears in your bank. Now, the other instrument that they sent down there, I'll better explain. That loan note goes off onto the markets and is securitized. Now, it's held in the clear registry, which is part of the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. That's where all security documents are monetized. It's in the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. Now, that money, that order or that note goes off onto the markets and people gamble against it. The money, meanwhile, is put into the bank account, but it doesn't go into your bank account. It goes into an escrow account. Now, if the books don't balance, if an audit were to be taken on the bank and they looked at this money and said, hey, this should have been put into Bill's account, why didn't it go in there? They would be in big trouble. So what they do is they put that money into a solicitor's trust account, and then they instruct your solicitor to sign a mortgage agreement. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know.
Okay. You see, this is where the fraud comes in, and this is where you can hold them accountable, is that the mortgage document is signed up by your lawyer, but you did not instruct him to do that agreement for you. The money, which was already yours, has gone into the lawyer's trust account. Now, if anyone out there doesn't believe this, what you've got to do is take out your last bank statement showing what happens when you make payments on your loan and what happens to interest when you're paying off a loan. What you'll see is that the interest goes out as a debit, but the payments go in as a credit, because the money was already yours. So they're getting to pay you back. They're getting you to pay back something that was already yours. Now, that money is being credited to an account for you, but unless you know how to access that account or ask them to give it to you, when you finish paying it off, they go to the IRD and say, we have some unclaimed money sitting in an account here. We've waited 90 days. No one's claimed it. May we have it? Inland Revenue give them the okay. So you're paying off something that you should never have paid off. Now, what happens to the security, the off-market security document is that this gets lodged against your trust account. Now, they take however many shares against your trust account. So although that trust account is actually out there trading, they then take a percentage of the trust account as security. Now, like I told you, land is you. So when they send you a letter saying, mortgagee letter saying, we have the right to sell our security or we have the right to sell our property, they do not own the piece of dirt that your house is sitting on or the house. All they have the right to sell is a title, and they have it secured against your straw man or your trust account. So you can quite easily stop them from putting you into a mortgagee situation by that one fact alone. Say, please identify the property or the security that you have the right to sell. It's only a bit of paper. They do not have the right to sell a bit of dirt or the house that you're sitting on. Now, ain't that a revelation?
Yeah. It's almost a biblical revelation.
Well, I guess I was quite lucky being in real estate for over 20 years. I had the opportunity of seeing a lot of this in action, and gradually through studying the law, all the things have fallen into place. And I spoke with bank managers and things like that to put to put it all together.
Mm-hmm. Good on you, bro.
That's the biggest joke, though, isn't it, Bill? That so many people obsess over money. You know, it's. Money has become intermingled with an innate reptilian brain survival instinct. It's the fuel of our survival in this paradigm. And yet most people don't even understand what it is, and they're so obsessed with getting on the motorway every morning.
I can tell you the lawyers don't even know what they're doing. They just act on instructions. They don't even think about it because I've asked them. And one of them, the penny finally dropped. He said, oh, my goodness. He said, I was doing these for ages. He said, I never realized. He said, but you're exactly right. He said, that's
But then
exactly
how much do you think is ignorance and apathy and complacency, and how much do you think is intelligent design, if you will, in terms of how the whole system is orchestrated? Because a lot of people say to me, like John Campbell saying to us, Vinny, the U.S. government couldn't possibly engineer a false flag attack on their own people.
Well, they're not capable of it. They're not capable of it. Yeah, righto, Campbell.
Look, what you guys just said earlier, that they keep us entertained. We haven't got time to actually go and look. And you said, everyone's obsessed about money. These lawyers, they have to fight for survival. They just get the job off the desk. Do it, get the job off the desk. They're trained in a particular way. Now,
A lot of them are earning $500,000 bucks, though. They're not on the breadline or anything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I can tell you, when I was earning over $200,000 a year, boy, it soon goes out. I had to adjust from $200,000 a year to $200 a week, and it's quite a drop, I can assure you.
And that's the thing that a friend of mine told me, that his CEO took a 3% pay cut, and all the employees took a 5% pay cut, and it actually affected the CEO a heck of a lot more than it affected the employees. Because if your income goes up, then your expenditure also goes up, because you've got all this extra cake lying around to spend. Isn't that right?
Oh, absolutely, and I mean, if you're living in a little box down in the back blocks of Otara, where it's only, you know, your mortgage would probably be very little, and you get a huge pay rise, naturally you're going to move to a better area and get a bigger mortgage. And so if you've got to take a pay cut, boy, it makes quite a difference.
Mm-mm-mm. And I think
that's
probably...
Are you just about ready for a break there, Vinny?
Yes, we are. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Our very special guest is Bill Turner. We'll be right back after the break with the final segment.
I think we're a little too early for the break.
Oh, it's a bit too early, are we?
No, we're good. Here comes the black sunrise.
The way is going to go.
Welcome back. The final segment of the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. At this time of the week, I always like to lavish everybody with a wee bit of praise, and I'd like to thank our very fabulous guests that we'd had so far this week. It's been one of the better weeks of the show so far, not least this particular episode here. And, of course, my fabulous co-host, Will, who managed to join us towards the end of this week but had some internet difficulties. But we soldier on. And of course, you know, you can't not thank our miraculously talented board op, Adam, the owner of the network, Danny. And, of course, last but not least, our somewhat fabulous producer, Mitch. So I'd like to just thank guys for helping my dream of having a show come true, because I'm not a dream maker. I just live here. All right. Now, Bill, last segment, we have not too much time left, and you wanted to cap us off with some New Zealand history. Take it away.
Yeah, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to come on and share some of this information with you guys. And I hope, although it may be a huge paradigm shift for a lot of people, I hope that some of them go away and do a bit of their own research, or just look back over the past, and they may see things differently and be able to add to this picture. Now, the Dutch East India Trading Company, which... in the Pirates movie is referred to all the time as the East India Trading Company. It started off as the Dutch East India Trading Company, but got such a bad name it became the East India Trading Company, and went around the world creating all sorts of havoc. Came to New Zealand, same thing, created all sorts of havoc over here. Eventually, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they changed their name to the Crown, to try and confuse people with the Queen. The Crown is a very, very separate entity. It's the Crown City of London, and the Dutch East India Trading Company just evolved into the Crown. Now, in 1835, the chiefs of New Zealand got together, and they were told to put up a Declaration of Independence. But From friends of mine, I've been told that the rangatira means rangatiratanga means a slave of the people. So what they are doing is working for the people. Now, so when you look at that he whakaputanga or rangatiratanga o New Torini, what it means that we are slaves to the New Zealand Company or the Dutch East India Trading Company, which later became the Crown. Now, that document became the deed that enslaved New Zealand to the East India Trading Company. Now, the East India Trading Company, to set up colonies, they would go around the world and they would lend these people money to set up these colonies, and then they would demand the money back by way of putting cavets over the whole country. So that was the deed that the trust deed that was made to put New Zealand into servitude. Now, in 1840, we're running out of time real quick, but anyway, in 1840, a document was signed called the Treaty of Waitangi. Now, that was purely a trading agreement to get the companies trading, or to get the countries trading, which was no problem, except that it expired in 1940, when everyone was off fighting a war overseas. So what happened was that the treaty did not get renewed. 7 years after that treaty expired, the statutes of limitations expired, so in 1947, a new act came out called the Maori Purposes Act. Now, up until then, Maori were not known as Maori. They were known as natives, or Oriori, or Moriori, or Waitaha. We are the Ma, we are the white, and they are the Ori, the Oriori, or the Moriori, or the Waitaha. Okay, so from 1947 on, all of a sudden, we referred to them as Maori. And I can remember when I was at school in the 60s, we suddenly got bits of paper saying, are you a Maori? How much Maori have you got in you? Up until then, they were not known as Maori. We had native schools, which later became Maori schools, which now are just primary schools. So this is just a brief, very, very quick overview of what happened to New Zealand. Now, I know for a fact that there are people overseas trying to put another treaty in place, but they're not having much luck in doing that. So, I guess a lot of people would not like to hear that view of history, but it was given to me by some Maori elders who said to me, this is what they said to me, Vinny. They said, Bill, the information we're giving you, we cannot give to our own people because they would not share it.
Why wouldn't they share it? Because it would take away their power and their identity, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. You see, now I've already explained about land. Now, their land issues are just... Look, a document was signed with the Queen, and she did a 60-40 with the Maori, or sorry, the natives back then. She did a 60-40 agreement whereby she took 60%, which meant they pay no taxes, but 40% of every asset that comes out of the land goes into a trust account for the native peoples. They have the iron sands, they get a percentage of that, they get the trees, the coal, the petrol, everything that comes out of the ground, they get 40% of. So when they go to treaty negotiations, all they are doing is giving them a very small portion of the interest of all the money that is in those trust accounts.
Well, thank you so much, Bill, for coming on the show with us and sharing this information that you've been waiting for quite some time and researching up on it. Ladies and gentlemen, later on you'll be able to re-listen to this show, because I know that I'll definitely be re-listening to it at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and AmericanFreedomRadio.com. This has been a fantastic week. It's a great job, crew. Great job to all my fabulous guests that we've had on. And ladies and gentlemen, the listeners, thank you so much for listening, and we will be back next week with more fabulous stuff.